Welcome back to another episode of the Recruiter's Review. I'm your host and creator, Pat Mingarelli. Episode 9, Assessments and Surveys. A dual trend that I'm seeing is a return and increase in the administering of assessments and surveys to interview processes. Simultaneously, I'm seeing more resistance on the part of candidates to complete them. And I'm hearing everything from reasons ranging from test anxiety to feelings that these assessments and surveys are intrusive or demeaning, or simply that they are just too time-consuming. I'm going to take you back to episode 3, The Pendulum Swings, and I said then that the dynamics of the job market are changing. Well, they've changed. As you're now reading about in daily financial and business news, job growth and job creation has slowed. Now, while there is still a robust hiring market, there are now more people vying for open positions, and employers are now having to vet well past is somebody just simply available to start next week. As I mentioned in that episode 3, those days are over. Those who desire a change and enter the interview process simply need to be willing to do now what it takes to win and succeed against a competing slate of candidates. It's really this simple. If you want to change positions to better your situation or land again after being laid off, you're going to have to do more in an interview process this time than you likely experienced had you interviewed or changed jobs in the last 5 years. And that means entering longer interview processes and doing things like assessments and surveys, and a few other things that I'll discuss as we finish out season 1. So assuming that you're willing to do these extra things that it will now take to change positions in this economy, I'm going to take the rest of this episode and tell you how to work with these assessments. Not only have I worked with them throughout my recruiting career, I've actually recruited for some of the assessment organizations where I learned how these assessments are written, how they're designed, how they're administered, and how they are used. So in this episode, I'm going to give you my advice on how to approach them and why you should not be put off when requested to take one. So let's start with understanding why they are administered. Simply put, they are designed to assess if you have the skills, the intelligence, the personality, the drive, the analytical thought process, any one or all of these things that they have decided are necessary for success in this position or in this company. The assessments designed by PhDs in industrial psychology, and then they're tailored by a consultant to the very position or positions and culture of the company that has now paid to use those in their interview process. And when I say paid, I'm going to tell you, they are not cheap. Assessments come with some hefty setup costs and either an annual charge or a per use charge. I have some clients that spend an upwards of $1,000 on just one candidate to assess in their interview process. And once the company has their assessments or surveys all set up, the first step is they administer them internally. And I can tell you that when you look at the results of those internal assessments, they almost always line up with the person who took them. And you know this because you've worked with these people for a long time. I know when I took mine, we used something called the Craftsman Skill Survey for assessments for hiring at National Register. That survey nailed me to a T. And everyone else in our organization, it described every one of their strengths, their weaknesses, you name it, it was right on the money for everybody at my company. So often when completed, you know, the company can then say about a candidate, well, based on this assessment, they seem to be a lot like so-and-so in such-and-such department. But more so, it just, to me, strikes the validity of these assessments and surveys. So again, you should not be put off by them, whether the results are in your favor or not in your favor, or simply that you're offended that you have to take one. These surveys and assessments really do seem to not only pick somebody's strengths and weaknesses, but really identify, will this person succeed and be happy in the position? And will those hiring the person be happy with them in the position and in the company and as part of their, quote, work family? So while they're not to be used purely as a hire, don't hire tool, they do have that much gravitas and will certainly define the rest of your path in that company's interview process. You should take them as seriously as any interview and give them the respect that they deserve. In other words, be flattered that they're first willing to spend this amount of money on you and make the first investment into the assurances of your fit for them and their fit for you. And along that front of fit for you and fit for them, in many assessments, as well as even in some interview formats, there's a topic called motivational fit. And what that means is, in looking at the person's motivations for change and what motivates that person and keeps that person happy, is that actually going to be offered in the role or culture at hand? So, hey, that is really good stuff. Why would you want to find out after taking a job that it's not satisfying to your mental DNA? That's what these assessments can do for you as much as it can do for the hiring companies. And with that, let's get into how to take these assessments, the do's and the don'ts. So the first do in these assessments is do give them the attention they deserve and the gravitas that they deserve in your interview process. If you take them lightly and blow these things off and just rush through them, you're not going to get a good result. On the flip, don't overthink them and don't try to study for them. So let me now take you through taking an assessment. Now that you have an assessment in front of you that's been provided by a company you're interviewing with, my first advice is do the assessment at home. Do not try to do this during the day when you're on the fly at work, and do not try to do this on your smartphone. Set aside the time, and usually they'll tell you. Some of these assessments take a matter of minutes. Others can take as long as an hour. There are a few assessments out there that actually can take 2 or 3 hours. Those are uncommon and used for very specialized positions, but they do exist. So you do want to set yourself up at home to take this assessment when you are at a place and time that you will not be interrupted. One of the things to know about these assessments, not only are they testing your answers, they're testing what you do from the moment you open that assessment up. So you cannot open it up earlier in the day to then close it and then open it later at home. Usually it's a one-time deal. You open it, you take it, you save it, you close it. That's why just wait until you get home and set that time aside. They've told you how much time you need. Make sure you're not interrupted. Put your phone on DND. Tell your family members you're busy for that amount of time so that you can now focus on your assessment and go through that assessment uninterrupted, just like you would in an actual interview. And I also advise you use an actual computer. Do not use your smartphone or a notepad. These tests are designed to interact with full systems, and often notepads and smartphones, you're using your finger and a trackpad. That in itself can skew or mess up an assessment to where it ends up not going the way you want it to. You run into technical difficulties. And I've seen this. Someone will get about 10 minutes into the assessment and then they hit a technical difficulty. They couldn't go any further. They got locked out. The next morning, they're calling me in a panic. Hey, Pat, I tried to do it last night, but I got locked out. And I'll ask them, did you do it on a notepad? Well, yeah, I did. So trust me, you cannot do this on a notepad or your smartphone. You want to have a full keyboard and a full operating system, and also pay particular attention to the instructions that they give you. Many of these assessments will tell you to not do them on Safari or Firefox. Some will say don't do it on Chrome. So pay very close attention to what browsers and platforms you can do these assessments on. And some of these assessments will offer you a practice test, and I would advise that you do that. There are some very complex assessments out there. That practice test will get you a little bit more comfortable with the format you're going to really take the assessment on. And I have found that many of the questions asked in the practice test are also asked in the practical assessment that you need to take. So as I said, these are very important, and it's a very critical part of the interview process if you've been asked to take one. But I also said don't overthink them, and here's where that comes into play. So when you're sitting at your computer, you're logged into the assessment site, and you're going to begin to answer questions. This is where you have to take a more lighthearted approach and not overthink each question. And certainly don't have the gut answer, but then you hesitate and say, I don't think that's what they want me to say. I'll bet they want me to answer the question in another way, and you change your answer. That will always create an invalidation of your survey. Remember, I told you these are written by PhDs in industrial psychology, as well as psychology and psychiatry. There are a lot of great minds that go into these. So they know how to ask a number of questions to most of us, which seem completely unrelated, but they all tie in together when it comes to the score. I'll give you an example. If the question is, what is your favorite ice cream flavor? And your favorite flavor is vanilla. And you go to write it down and you say, oh, vanilla, that's pretty boring. I'll bet you they want me to say something like Rocky Road or chocolate. And so you answer the question that way. You've now begun to start the invalidation of your survey by doing that. When a question comes up, you've got your gut answer, the first answer that comes to mind. That's your answer. You go with it. I mentioned that this test is not only for them, it is for you. You do not want to skew your results. You want that test to tell you you're a match and they're a match for you. Keep that in mind. And also, many of these assessments are timed. So as you hesitate and start changing answers, that will almost always lead to not being able to finish. And on that front, Not every assessment can be finished. When they're timed, you're being tested a number of ways, not only with your answers, but how are you responding under stress with a number of tasks to complete before a clock runs out. That's why the best approach is to look at the question, an answer pops into mind, that's your gut answer. You put that down and you move on to the next question. Now, what do you do if you get to a question that you can't answer? Some assessments are designed to not let you go any further, and then the timer will run out. Others will let you move on to the next question. If it allows you to move on to the next question, when you have questions that you cannot answer, some of these assessments, they might throw in some crazy trigonometry question. Again, all designed for not only the accuracy of your answer, but how you react, what you do, what did you do when this problem was in front of you. The advice that I've been told by some of these PhDs and the advice I give, if you're allowed to keep going without answering a question and answer the rest, do that. At the end of that assessment, they'll look to see how many questions were right versus how many were answered. So they're all different. But if you get stumped, if you're able to go on to the next question, do so. Then if there's still time, you can come back to the question that you didn't answer yet and then finish it out that way. Now, once you finish the assessment, ensure that you have completed all final steps to include submit. I've actually had people do assessments. They spent an hour, 90 minutes. They answered the last question and then they closed their computer and walked away and they forgot to hit submit. So just ensure that you have closed out with submit and look and watch for the confirmations before leaving that computer screen that your assessment was accepted. Usually you'll get an email as well letting you know that it has been completed. Just like anything you do online, like when you're paying a bill. And once everything's done, comes the results. Sometimes you'll even get a cover sheet from the assessment company that tells you a little bit about yourself. On the other end, the employer gets a much more detailed report. Usually the taker gets a 1 to 2 page summary. The employer gets something sometimes as long as 25 pages, and it tells them everything they need to know about what managing you and hiring you would mean for them. So if after taking an assessment, you're told, all right, thank you for your time and consideration, but we're moving on, you can pretty much know that the assessment showed traits or weaknesses, or simply just that there was not a match. And it could be that the interviewer already sensed this, but the assessment became confirmation to them that it's just not a good match. So don't take it personally. You didn't match on the assessment. It means it's not the job that you're meant to be in, and you can move on and find the right fit for yourself. Now, if the interviewer is not sure, and let's say you didn't really score a perfect match on the assessment, but going through the interview's mind is, wow, I really expected a stronger assessment than I'm seeing here. I really like this person, and I'm not ready to call it quits on them. So you may be asked back for an interview after your assessment, but it doesn't mean that your assessment gave you a perfect match. Instead, it means that you are being brought back, and this is where your self-awareness will come into play. So if you are asked back for another interview and you've taken the assessment, you need to be prepared for the possibility that there are some weaknesses or concerns that you're going to have to counter. And it's how you handle those objections or concerns that they bring up that'll determine your standing in the rest of the interview process more than that assessment score or predictor index itself. I'll give you an example. We had somebody one of our banking technology clients. Our vice president of sales client loved this recruit. She thought she was the perfect match. However, her index showed some weaknesses that, if not able to be overcome, would lead to failure in the job. When she was invited back for her next interview, this vice president started going over those areas of concern. And rather than marketing herself and saying, yes, I can see that, here's what my game plan would be, she got very defensive. And at the end of the day, it told the vice president, all right, this candidate is very resistant to any training and coaching and is not aware of their weaknesses, even though we have an index that shows them what they are. So you have to take them with a grain of salt, take them with a stiff upper lip. They're not criticizing you. They actually want to see, now that you've been made aware of this particular weakness or deficiency, are you willing to be coached on it? Or would you have a game plan to overcome it? That becomes your opportunity to show them that even though there is an indexed weakness, you already know how to overcome it. Or that you're open to the coaching on how to overcome it. And if in your mind you don't believe that weakness is really there, well, guess what? When you're on the job, they'll see that that weakness isn't there either. And what I just said, that ties in how these assessments work in the big picture. In the early stage, it's to determine the fit for you at the company fit for you. If you do join the company, those assessments become your manager's tool so that they know how to better develop you, guide you, manage you, and get you to the highest levels of success that you can have. While many people find these assessments to be demeaning or insulting, they're very good tools, and I'm a proponent of them. And my own experiences and experiences from many of my clients that I've asked, whenever an assessment has advised not to hire somebody, and the hire has been made anyway, seldom do those hires work out for the long term, and the cause for failure was right in front of them in the assessment to begin with. So I do put a lot of stock and validity to them, and you should as well. And again, don't be insulted by having to take them, and certainly don't be offended by their results. Take them, use them as learning experience, and stock them into your files of self-awareness. And as I wind down another episode of the Recruiter's Review, here's the 7-point summary of this episode. When you have an assessment, number one, do not try to take a preview of it during the day from your smartphone. You'll likely get locked out of it when you go to take it again. Number two, do it at home and do it during blocked, uninterrupted time. Number three, your answers are always the first ones to come to mind, your gut answers. Don't overthink and change answers to what you think your tester wants you to say. Number four, pay attention to the timer. Answer as many questions as you can. Move past the tough ones and come back to them if time is left. Number five, don't forget to hit submit and look for your confirmation of completion before you close out. Number six, accept the results. Number seven, use those results in the new job or another job if they were shared with you and you did not get this job. That's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is Pat Mingarelli signing off from the Recruiter's Review.